press conference of the film Angelo, a film from the official section of the 66th edition of the San Sebastian International Film Festival. To talk about the film this afternoon, we have the presence amongst us of several members of the cast and crew. On the end, we have Gerard Kerkletz, the DOP, Lucas Mico, one of the actors, Lisa Faber, also an actress in the film, Marcus Schlenzer, the director, and screenplay writers, and Makita Samba, who's also one of the actors in the film. Perhaps, please, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yes? Good, lovely. Yes? I'm over here on your right. That doesn't matter. Okay, up here. Okay, good. All right, good. Lovely. Okay, perhaps to start off with, I would like... Marcus, as the director of the film, could please introduce us or explain what were you interested in the story? Because from what I see, it's based on true events, albeit it might sound a bit incredible nowadays, but everything that happened, or at least it's inspired on true events. Could you go down that line and tell us what that's all about?
Well, good afternoon, first of all. I'm always interested not only in my film work. I'm always interested in how we as a society treat the so-called outsiders, because I think it's very interesting to see, and it's a seismograph for each community, how we deal our outsiders. And it's becoming more and more interesting to think about this nowadays again. So my first movie, Michael, dealt with this issue, and so for me it was only logical to look for something new and something else which is going on dealing with this issue, as I think that it's very important. And Angelo Suleiman, that's the complete name of the person we learned about today, is in a way a mythological person in Vienna, so everyone knows him. He's quite famous, and there was a huge exhibition about him some 10 years ago, but I was not able to go there because in this year I was away to Germany with Michael Haneke. We did the White Ribbon then. And when I came back, I bought the catalog because I said, okay, now I missed the exhibition, but maybe this is a possibility to just learn more about him. And the very moment I had this catalog, this book in my hands, I knew, no, this is not going me learning something more about a person. This should be the next movie. And in doing the research about him, I found out that all the stories I was told about him, or at least most of the stories I was told about him, are not true. In fact, there's only few material, there's very little that can give witness about his presence and about his life. So I found this very interesting because, to my mind, what we still do the same to him as we did 300 years ago. We brought him here to our country, we gave him a new identity, we did with him whatever we wanted to do him, and still nowadays we fill him with our own stories. There's a huge battle in science. There are some people saying, yes, you know, he's the first very good example for migration, a happy form of immigration. And there are other people saying, okay, no, of course he has been a victim. There are people saying in science he must have donated his own skin at the end of his life because he was so noble and he was such a huge member of the society that this could only be the only possibility why he ended up in a museum. And there are other people saying, no, that cannot be. So as I just said, till nowadays, we still do with him whatever we like. We put into him the stories, our motivations. We do with him today, until today, whatever we like to do. Sorry for the massive talking.
Thank you very much. We've got a question in the first row. No, first.
My question is about the last scene. How do you manage to shoot that fire?
We built it and we burned it.
Just like that?
That's it. No, and to be honest, we did this and everyone was happy that no one got hurt. Except me, because I said, okay, it burned, but it looks like shit and we have to do it again. So the production company was not that happy, and then we just built it again and then we burned it again. And that ended up in the movie. No, I was trying to make a movie without too much of fake, because I'm always interested in stories which are straight matter to fact. And the interesting thing is we did a lot of rehearsing with the fire. I mean, we shot it twice, but we burned a lot of material before we shot it. And to me, it was interesting how fire really looks like. Because nowadays in cinema, we are used to a lot of movies where dragons are flying and they have fire coming out of their mouth. And it was interesting that at the beginning, fire can look so boring. And then it goes so quick. We wanted to do it like it really is, matter of fact, as we tried to make the entire movie until this moment, just matter to fact. And no one got hurt. The camera almost got burned, but in the last moment we could save the camera, so happily the scene is in the movie.
Sí, tenemos aquí.
Yes, we have another question.
Schleinzer, and for Mr. Samba, the actor, I'm Al Goodman with CGTN, China Global Television Network in English, seeing around the world. There is a raging debate in the European Union right now on African migration. Spain is the main point of entry for African migrants. Your film is set back in the 18th century. Is there any link? Is there a comment in your film, or is there any relation to this raging debate that's going on with migration now? A question for both of you. Thank you.
You want to start?
No, go.
Okay. To be honest, I was not so much informed about what is ongoing in Spain. I wrote the script 5 years ago, and somehow there came reality. So I wrote the first scene before we have this huge situation with people coming now to Europe. And to me, this is just an example how modern this issue is and how much we have to debate it. I hope I have answered your question. Yeah, I wrote it before I knew that something like this has happened. I wrote the script 5 years ago, and 3 years ago, the situation really became virulent and a lot of people came to Europe. So I wrote the scenes, I wrote the script before our actual political situation.
So is there anything, now that it's made, does it have any link to what's going on in Europe right now?
Yes, it can happen again, and it's still ongoing. I mean, we haven't changed. What I think is that all that is still, this Europe situation started then, to my belief. So anything which started in the so-called Enlightenment, the centralistic thinking of us, we are the middle of the world, we look at other countries, at other people, say, they're interesting, they're ornaments, they should come to us. I think this is still ongoing. We still treat the others like this. And this was what I wanted to reflect on.
I agree with him. If there is a comment that this movie is making about the present time, is that the situation has been going for a very long time and that we still do not know how to treat others coming in Europe or wherever, because the question is that people were... This story of migration has been going for a long time and not only from Africa to Europe. People migrate all the time and they're still not that well welcomed when they arrive.
Sí, tenemos ahí otra.
Here's another question. What drew my attention was the What drew my attention quite a lot is the costume design, because it was quite impressive. I don't know whether you looked for a realistic period sort of costume design, or is there a bit of fantasy in the costume design?
Fantasy in the costume design, because I don't believe that it is possible to make an historical movie correct. I was told in my research, you should watch Barry Lyndon, it's the perfect movie. Then I watched Barry, I knew it, but I re-watched Barry Lyndon and I just saw the 70s of the last decade. So to my mind, you can only fail. That was the reason why we, with costume and the entire set, we said, okay, let's create an own universe. Pick something from here, something from there. Everything is made with the hands. to give a ride, to build a universe and give the impression of a timeline, which is not correct at all. So there are many modern aspects and many aspects from different centuries in costume design and as well in the set decor. Am I the only one sweating here?
Sí, aquí hay otra.
Yes.
Hi. My question is mainly for the actors. How do you work regarding the dialogues? Because there's hardly any dialogue, and it must be hard for an actor to work only with the stillness.
And silence. This was what was interesting in this work is that we were. I was trying to be as much objectified as I could be. I wanted to feel like an object for this part, and it was much about digging, not building a character, but digging into his feelings. So that's how I can stay still and still act, I guess.
It's also, I mean, a lot is about what you are allowed to say, and so the characters, they have to hold back so much of what they would want to do, of their aspirations, of their needs, of their desires. So I think it was actually very organic, because it was an integral part of the character's arc. And also, we did a bit of a rehearsal with Marcus initially, Makita, Marcus, and Gerald and I. And for me, it was very, very interesting because we didn't rehearse the scenes at all. We only did movement work with Gerald. So, and that created a complicity of the body that is sort of much more instinctual. And I have sometimes, perhaps, in the theater worked like that. But for cinema, it was absolutely astounding, and this helped a lot.
Well, in my case, it was a little bit the opposite because I had like three almost monologues because Angelo doesn't dare to answer a lot. So I met Marcus, I think, 3 years before shooting for the first time, and we worked on the monologues and twice a year, I would say. And it was very interesting for me because normally in a normal built, dramaturgically built drama, every scene builds up on the next scene and so on and so on, and you can identify as a spectator with the character. In this case, you have this story about the childhood of the emperor, and you could tell this story in many different ways. And also the end monologue is, you could play it in different versions, and that was an interesting task for Marcus and me to find out what fits in the way Marcus tells the story. And we came up with the idea that it would be interesting to switch between German and French, because French would have been rather the language Angelo could talk with me easier. And so I could behave like a friend and give him the feeling of trust. And in the next moment where he says something which bothers me, I answer in German and very straight. So it was very interesting to find out which sentences would be interesting to play in German and which ones in French. And
I think it started with the very first idea. How could a person like this react? Because what I really find interesting is I didn't know until a lady in Toronto told me. I was not aware about this, that the first word spoken by this Angelo figure is the word no. The little boy, after he had freed the parrots, maybe by accident, we don't know, comes at night to the Comte's room. We don't know why, because he's a child, maybe he wants to apologize, maybe he wants to slip aside in her bed to her, we don't know. So he's there. And when the old maiden is taking him away fiercely and tries to get him out of the room, this is his first word spoken, no, 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 he says no. And this I find very interesting because yes and no are the most important words for us to become individuals. I mean, maybe some first word may be mama or papa, but yes and no are the most important words for all of us to define who we are in everyday's living, to what case in the world, to what politicians, to whom, to what food, whatever, do we say yes or no. But stepping back a bit, someone who has been kidnapped or taken away from his homeland at the age, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 in Africa in those days, and has been brought half the continent to the sea, and then he was into a ship. I don't know what kind of torture he has seen or what he had learned or what he had to witness. So I think this is a very traumatized person from the very beginning. And then he comes to a country, he does not even know the name of this country. He does not even know, maybe has no idea and any clue about the situation, what is ongoing there. He does not understand the people, what they are talking. He never in his entire life, maybe, probably, he meets another person speaking his own language. So from the very beginning, I had the idea that this should be a very silent, out of many reasons, a very silent figure. And on the other hand, I thought, okay, turning on television nowadays or whatever, walking on the street, all with our mobile phones, there's so much talking and conversation ongoing. And somehow I had the feeling that this century back was maybe a bit of a silent one. There was not so much blah, 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 society talk and quack, quack, quack talk. So the words are very precise because the words are dangerous. When you say something, you have an opinion. And when you have an opinion, some other people can say, ah, you have this opinion, step on this side of the wall. You have this opinion, you belong to this group. So I think this Angelo Suleiman, probably he was no idiot. Probably he thought to himself, okay, maybe I achieved a better goal than some of my fellow men who had been on the boat as well. Maybe he tried to become a bit of a career. So he figured out that speaking, he figured out that the word can be dangerous and that speaking and too much speaking and having own opinions could probably take away this position he found for himself or it was given to him. So for the very beginning for me, it was very clear that this should be a very silent figure and to whom to talk about and to talk about what. I mean, what I find very touching personally is at the end of the movie when his daughter, she's here, the actress is here, Nancy, when they are in this museum and they are in front of this wall and there's some fantasy of Africa painted on the wall. And this daughter, who has never been to Africa, asks her own father, is it like that? So comme ça, papa? And he hasn't been there for, I don't know, some 40, 50, 60 years. And maybe he has no memory at all. Because what is memory? Memory is something dangerous because memory is never the truth. Memory changes. It does with you or it does with the images, whatever it likes. If you are content, if you are happy with your past, the memory will be happy. If you are unhappy, the memory changes into something bad. So maybe he does not even know how Africa looks like anymore. It's all a fantasy. And in doing research, we found an early book written about Angelo Suleiman, short after his death, some 20 years after his death. And maybe the lady who wrote this first biography about him, at the end she spared out his ending in the museum somehow. This first biography ends when he drops dead and is dead. So, and I don't know why, but maybe it was not allowed to write about it. Maybe she didn't dare to write about it. Maybe she didn't find it a proper ending for the white race to have a biography written and saying, okay, then we stuffed him and put him into this museum. But a lot of this, what she's talking about, could be also said by him. So we have a name. We have a country. She says in Africa he was called Madi Marke and he came from Banguzi land. But there is no Banguzi land. There never was. So I think maybe he helped creating his own fantasy. Maybe he helped creating his own figure by just inventing things. because there was no internet, there was no Google, no one could control if this is right or wrong. One. Two, if you are really traumatized, and I know this from the lot of research I did for my last movie, when you are a victim in a huge crime case, there always comes this moment when you really don't want to be this person anymore. So for some people, overcoming being a victim is starting to pretend another biography. And maybe this is what he did. And nowadays we have to deal with all this and the science saying, yeah, maybe this is right, maybe this is wrong. I don't believe it. I think he made up his own figure and we did it pretty well as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's another question. No, no, behind you. There you go. Hi, welcome. My question has to do with the structure of the film and with the format. And with two key words, Larissa said, and the director. Larissa's talked about theater, and the director's talked about reality, true reality. And I would like to know how you, with these two elements, how you organize this so strange, atypical kind of film.
An atypical kind of thing, because I personally don't know what is a typical film. But I haven't learned filmmaking, so this is only my second film and I'm still an autodidact and then try to learn anything with the next and the new project. To be honest, when I was... I loved theater a lot. I thought filmmaking is a lie, because it's not life. When you're on stage, you can go outside, and if you make a mistake, it's just there. And filmmaking, you can repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. So filmmaking is lying, and I'm not so much about lying. And then I think at the age of 17, I had a friend, and he said, okay, come, I have a weird movie. You have to see this. And that was Drowning by Numbers from Peter Greenaway. And I still don't know what this movie should be about. I didn't understand a single thing about this movie, but I was struck away by the structure, by the images, by this kind of storytelling. So very soon I became a huge fan of Peter Greenaway, of the early work of Lars von Trier, like his Medea or Element of Crime. I like those movies who tried to be a bit different in their storytelling and combined elements of theater and, in a way, some kind of realistic filmmaking. But I doubt that there's that realism is possible in filmmaking anyway. And I like the idea that this is, in a way, some kind of opera or theater play, because we have a main character who is an actor, because this is what I think that he really was, an actor. An actor for us, showing how wonderful our society is, how big our forces and our strength, that we have friends like, here you are, darling, that we have this beautiful colored friend who came all over the world to be at my side, but just to resemble my own power. I earlier said nowadays he may be some kind of must-have bag of the season. So if you have this yellow bag this season, you are the it girl or the it boy. So in a way, maybe he was something to make the others the it boy or the it girl. And I completely lost track. I'm talking too much. No, I like the idea that this is... that as we have this main figure being, in a way, an actor, and the entire thing could be, in a way, something which resembles to a stage play as well, because it's a huge opera, and as he's also he's a mirror figure. I mean, all the others have much more lines than he has, because they use him as a mirror to reflect themselves in them. And to my mind, this is the best thing we can do in movies as well as in cinema. When I go to movies or to cinema, which I love very much, I'm much more interested in learning something new about myself than follow some kind of diktat what some actors or some directors want to tell me. And that's the way how we deal with the script. And the format is one format which I adore a lot. I heard it's atypical as well nowadays, but I doubt it because a lot of filmmakers I really love, like Andrea Arnold and Gus Van Sant, are only working in this format. But it's not only, yes, I like this, let's take it. To me, it's always also about the freedom. Because we have a main character who, in a way, it seems that he's allowed to go wherever he wants. He can sit at this table and play cards, or he can go to this room and maybe have a drink. At nighttime, they send him up to the roof, and he has to share a room with a servant. So in a way, he seems like a free person, but he's not, of course he's not. Because when, for the very first time, he tries to make an own choice about his life, because he too sees that there are some people, some happy couples, and why not marry? Why not have a girlfriend, a woman, a partner for himself? So he does this secretly, and it turns out to be a bad thing done by him. So this, to me, this is the only moment where he tries to get out of this system. And we have the boy who does not want to get beaten at the beginning. That's also a moment where this figure wants to not go with the story. And giving this too much room, too much space in the framing, I think that would have given somehow psychological the wrong idea, because you have this figure and then you have so much space and somehow maybe you get the feeling, yes, he could move. But as the image is so small, where should he go? He cannot go. He's an imprisoned person. So to my mind, he was in the box, not only at the end. He has been in a box throughout his entire life. But maybe you want to say something about it, because it's your work as well, your beautiful work.
I'm agreeing with what Markus have said. I would add on, it's also a question of expectations. I mean, we are generally in period pieces, we are used or we are expecting them to be widescreen. And I think there is a reason for why a lot of period pieces, or most of them, are shot in wide aspect ratio.
It's about horses. We only have one. So if you have hundreds of horses going like this, out of the frame. So that's maybe the reason why they invented widescreen. But we have only this one horse, and it was lame. So we did not need so much space. But sorry, Gerald, for interrupting.
I'm used to it. and I still love you.
I love you too.
Yes, it's right with the horses. But I also think it's also about showing the illusion and being proud of what we have managed. So if you believe in the idea of making a historical movie, of course you want to show the production design. So there is this approach that is only in period pieces, because we don't do this, maybe do this in science fiction, but in contemporary movies or stories playing in the present, we don't show the production design just because
it's there.
It's there, the format for me is connected with what Markus had said before. We both didn't believe in the idea of making a historical movie, so our interests have been somewhere else. This kind of idea of showing the production design or giving them so much space in the picture. For me personally, it feels sometimes kind of commercial or even in a way touristic. And this was something we have not been interested in. I was searching together with Markus on a modest, unexcited, simple camera work, which is focused on the persons and on the story. So in a way, I tried to imagine, even during shooting, that we are not making a historical movie. So I tried not to be impressed from the costumes, from the set design, because I don't want that they involve my decisions, because, yeah, the details, or it's so big and so wonderful. And to get me right, I think there's a lot of beauty is there, but we just decided not to give them special attention. I would say, maybe Markus is agreeing when I say, if it would be a contemporary movie, we would have made it exactly the same way. and not there's nothing we did because it's a story
of some ornament or some beauty. But on the other hand, it was very helpful too, because we haven't had that much money, and most of the sets were just built where the camera framing ended. So I don't know, most of the sets were built, so the castle you sit in and have the big scenes and the talking. There is a huge carpet under his table, and the carpet looks like an oval, but it was not. It was exactly 2 centimeters. It was finished then. So if we just went with the camera like this, we had to reshoot again because we went out of the framing. And so we did it with each and every scene and with each and every decor, because Gerald and I, we really very much love to debate a lot and discuss a lot. And in pre-production, everyone hates us because we have 100,000 questions. But how will this be? And how will that be? And how will this happen? But with the effort that when we start to shoot, at least we two are very, very well prepared and we know everything. And I had the feeling and the thinking that this time this could even help the production, because we said, okay, we want to have this shot like this and we take another shot like that, and that's a deal. And we're not going to change it on set. So that's how it was possible to build the sets frame for frame for frame, and to not get over budget so much.
Sí. Tenemos tiempo, sí. Tenías una última pregunta.
One final question. Yes, do we have time? Yes, one final question. Thank you. Yes, I would like to ask Marcos, before you've said that it's all a fantasy, I would like to know about the concept of freedom as a fantasy, because as you reflect in the film, it seems it's a concept that he fooled himself, because obviously he thought it was something, or he had a freedom, but the truth he didn't have a freedom, albeit he thought he had.
Freedom is a concept, because I doubt that there is. I'm not talking about the inner freedom you get when you meditate or something like this. But the freedom we all can share as living creatures on this planet has always something to do with the others and with their ideas of my freedom. This is something we agreed on as a society. Rules. If you follow the rules, you can live in freedom. If you have the idea that the rules are too old-fashioned or rotten or against something I really want to try, you rebel, and maybe society follows you, yeah? But I just can repeat myself. I really think that freedom for each and all of us is something you have to make out and to discuss with each and every person you meet in your life. Or even don't meet. I mean, if something happens outside right now, we would stand up and leave the room, because then maybe something more interesting or more dangerous or whatever is going to happen outside than this conversation in here. So our freedom would be disturbed, and we decided to see what's happening outside. So this is what I think. Like with most of the issues I'm debating, individually is something that can be discussed as well. But sometimes it's not you who's discussing who you are to be. Sometimes it's the others who discuss who you should be.
Okay. Well, bueno, pues.
Okay. We have to finish this press conference. I would just like to thank the cast and crew of the film Angelo that have come along today to present the film. And I hope, wish you all of the film a lot of luck in its trajectory in the future. And a big round of applause. Thank you very much and farewell.